You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Well, welcome in again, MLB.com Extras, the Cincinnati Reds edition. I'm Dave Raymond with a relaxed and maybe even tanning Mark Sheldon out there in San Diego, just cruising around in the sunshine, having a great time. Mark, it's the new look Cincinnati Reds, the all-rookie rotation. That's a bit of a rarity. What are your impressions as we begin this, basically this new chapter in Cincinnati Reds' recent history with the way things fell out around the trade deadline?
Yeah, definitely a new chapter, especially in the rotation. The everyday lineup, obviously minus the injuries, isn't too different, but the having five rookies pitching, I think it's going on a couple weeks now where they've had a newbie making the starts for them is definitely a unique situation for this team. It's always been known for its veteran presence in the rotation. So, and I would say that a lot of these guys have distinguished themselves pretty well under the circumstances. It hasn't been perfect. There's been some hiccups along the way, but there's been some nice moments too for like Raisel Iglesias. The other last couple of starts for Kiva Sampson have been pretty impressive. And on the other hand, you have uneven outings like Michael Lorenzen had this past Thursday, still kind of having been prone to a lot of pitches, throwing 100 pitches in five innings and giving up some, two out hits and two out walks and things he's got to do, and he's got to close out innings better. But it's definitely a good learning experience to take them into 2016.
Right. Well, and it's terrific if, you know, everybody pans out, or even really if just a handful pan out and end up, you know, really adapting into the role and becoming big league starters. You got a lot of young guys controllable. And I think realistically, we'd all have to acknowledge that the likelihood of all five of these guys, let's say, making up the rotation next spring is slim, right? I mean, it's just not likely that all five are going to develop, they're going to handle it all beautifully, and that they'll all be in this similar position next year.
Well, don't forget, of course, Homer Bailey is rehabbing from his Tommy John surgery, so he'll be the veteran, I suppose, of the rotation next year. John Moscott, who came up briefly, was very impressive in his couple outings before his untimely shoulder injury and had to come out. We haven't seen Robert Stevenson, the top prospect yet, who's had some nice moments in AAA. We, of course, not had seen the two of the three acquisitions from Kansas City, Brandon Finnegan and John Lamb, who are very close. So, indeed, what we see now may not be what we see. Some of these guys might be bullpen guys next year. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be a deep competition. They are building up all these arms because, as you know, attrition and things not panning out and injuries, of course, have a way of messing things up. So they definitely wanted to be on the safe side and have a lot of arms. They do like offense, too, and they want to work on that going forward. But they definitely needed some arms, and then they stockpiled.
Yeah, which I think hopefully fans are kind of excited about. What was the local reaction to all the moves?
I think generally that they were positive. I mean, just looking at it from a baseball sense, the fact that they were able to move Cueto and Leak and get better than they would have got if they had let them march off into free agency, if they finished the year with the Cincinnati Reds, I think they did really well. They got the Giants' number one prospect for Leak. They got three very good left-handed pitchers for Cueto. So that's good. I think some fans are, of course, disappointed because they don't know who they got, and they of course would prefer to see major league proven talent coming back. And it's kind of tough to see a guy like Johnny Cueto get away and not really know who the three guys are that well in terms of, you know, general public knowledge are. But I think in the long run, it's at least given them a chance to have some successful guys going into the future. Whether this works out or not, it's a crapshoot. You don't know anything with prospects. It's not a science, so to speak, but it's a chance for them to have a window of contention maybe opening in a year or two that can stay open for a while.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think you got a hold of Walt Jocketty, and he says 2017. That's you know, we should be ready to go. Everything will be back up and humming. In 2017, was that a concept based on where he thinks he is in terms of building up this organization, or is some of that what he sees on the horizon for some of the competitors in the division? I'm just kind of curious how he, how or why he pinpointed 2017 as the time.
I don't think he's necessarily pinpointing it based on the competitors, just because, especially like the Cubs, they are young and ready to roll right now, and they look like they have a pretty good future ahead of them. But if you look in house, they'll be 2017 could be when Devin Mesoraco and Zach Cozart and Todd Frazier, if he's still around, come into their own even more and have some more offense. If Billy Hamilton develops into the hitter they hope he can be that he hasn't been yet, Jay Bruce will be in the final year of his contract. Joey Votto, of course, will be still at the team. And Brandon Phillips will be in the final year of his contract. So there is a sense that some of these offensive key components they did not part with in the trade deadline, and they may not part with. We'll see. But they still have their kind of offensive core together, and they're hopeful that once the pitching staff gets up and running and that they can catch up and get the experience they need. They're saying they're not giving up on 2016 yet, but really 2017 and 2018 are the realistic goals to see what they can. And, of course, you got prospects coming up behind the existing offense with guys like Jesse Winker and Kyle Waldrop and a few other guys. I'm off the top of my head, can't think of them. But they're all trying to build this thing so they can kind of have them all come up together and, like I said, keep a window open where they can contend for a few years.
Well, hey, to your point, it does signal something, right, that if the rumors are correct, they had a Jay Bruce for Zach Wheeler trade in place, and they didn't pull the trigger. They decided they wanted to stick with Bruce. I mean, Zach Wheeler is a guy who a lot of people think very highly of. So it would indicate that they feel like this is not a complete blow up like we've seen some organizations go to in recent years. I mean, this is. Whatever the word you want to use, like a retool, a reboot, reconfiguration, I don't know, rearrangement. And that maybe they can have the pieces in place in another year and change. It seems like a tall task, though. It really does when you talk about giving up some of the guys they had to give up.
I've seen some criticisms of what the Reds have done and that they didn't maybe do enough building, that they didn't tear it down even further. And I can understand that. It's definitely a risk what they're doing. They're not kind of committing fully to a rebuilding. They're kind of halfway doing it, which is sometimes if you don't really get fully, have full conviction in what you're doing, you wonder what happens to the results. But if they were going to trade Jay Bruce, in my opinion, they would have had to have traded Todd Frazier as well. There's no sense on having one gone and not the other. And what it does tell me is that either A, they think Bruce can finish his contract and be the guy that he's been, a very reasonably priced 30 home run hitter that's been on a resurgence this season. Or it says, along with Aroldis Chapman, that they think that if they do want to trade him, they can get a better offer maybe in the offseason or even next year's trade deadline. Zach Wheeler being the Tommy John guy right now is kind of an unproven quantity, and maybe they thought they could do better down the road, or they think they can do better just keeping him, because having that kind of offense is very hard to replace, especially at $12.5 million. You're not going to find a 30 home run hitter on the market for that price.
No, you're not. And I, for one, my opinion doesn't matter, but I like keeping Chapman in this spot. I'm a little worried about Frazier. I mean, I know he's gone into a bit of a scuffle lately. I'm not worried about him because I don't think he's a proven player who will last the test of time. I think he will. I'm concerned that this may have been a punch to the gut or something for him, that it's somehow his struggles lately, is a reaction perhaps to seeing, some of the core of this team taken away. I hope that's not the case. I mean, I hope it's just a mechanical thing and he'll be fine. But you do wonder sometimes when you see situations like this.
I think it goes a little further before the trade deadline. Even though he doesn't really want to admit it and he doesn't use it as an excuse, but I think the home run derby really took a little bit out of him. And I think just having the fact that he was all in on the All-Star game, doing not just being the player and representing the National League and the Reds, but he was kind of an ambassador. He had a lot of commitments, and he was busy. And I think that, and just he played every game of the first half. He didn't really have a full day off in the entire first half. And now you can kind of see the effects of the season wearing on him a little bit. He's gotten more days off now in the last couple of weeks than he's had usually, and a lot of that I think is just because he's been worn down. And I think Like I said, he won't admit it. He's basically said, if I'm on the field, there's no excuse, and that's fine. But I don't think this is going to be a long-term issue. I think he'll find his way out of it. He's been in slumps before. I remember last year he blamed me because I was saying how well he was hitting, and then he went to an 0-for-31, and he jokingly said it was my fault. So I'm sure he can find his way out of this again. He's got kind of a unique swing where it doesn't take much for him to get one out of the park. If even it takes a low outside swing, he can have enough strength to push the ball out, and maybe that's what gets him going. I don't think this is going to ruin his season. I think he can still be the guy that was really successful in the first half.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, good places for off days might be on the road out on the West Coast where the ball doesn't carry, the parks are large, and that cool marine layer comes in at night. So I hope he gets a couple of days here, and then maybe when he comes home, pull right out of it against the Royals. But, there's still a lot going on with this team, man. It's never suffering for storylines, Mark. Enjoy the road trip, and look forward to talking about it when we get together again next week.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Okay, there it goes. Mark Sheldon, MLB.com Extras, the Cincinnati Reds edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.